Remember at the very, very beginning of this perek, we discussed the idea that there were three basic categories in terms of bikurim. There were certain situations where a person wasn't obligated in bikurim altogether. They weren't a landowner. Let's say they were a sharecropper or a tenant farmer. Those were examples, or from fruits that were outside the land of Israel, or fruits that were of a low-grade quality. Then there was a middle category we spent a lot of time discussing, where there was a basic obligation to bring the bikurim, but you couldn't make the recitation because there was a technical problem. So, for example, one of the Mishnayos says, if it keeps on talking about how this land is promised to our fathers, maybe somebody who converted would have the mitzvah of bringing bikurim, but wouldn't actually have the mitzvah of reciting the mikra bikurim. In the end, we determined that no, the land was promised to Avram, and these are children of Avram, perhaps even more than everybody else, Avram Tchila Legerim. So now we're going to enter into the third and final category, or situations where you get to do the mitzvah of bringing the bikurim, and of course, there's a mitzvah of mikra bikurim as well. So the Mishnah lists six categories. Number one, from Atzeres until Sukkis, that's a basic category from the fruits of the land of Israel. We discussed about the quality of the fruits, so we say in Peiro Shebeharim, Tamarim Shebeamakim, that the fruits of the mountains were a little bit better, but when it comes to dates, the dates actually were more bountiful in terms of the shemen that they produced if they grew in the valley. Again, I'm not sufficiently knowledgeable in agriculture to know that to be the case, but indeed that's what the Mishnah indicates. They say shemen as well because, again, the Pasuk indicates shemen zeh utvash, so that's on the list. Then the sixth, and this is really where the controversy comes in, from Aver HaYardin. So it seems like the majority position is that there's a Torah-level obligation to bring Bikurim and to recite the Mikra Bikurim from the Transjordan. Now that's a bit of a controversy, because remember, the Transjordan was conquered, we'll get to it, not this Shabbos, not next Shabbos, but the following Shabbos, in the 40th year of the Jewish sojourn through the desert. These kings, Sichon and Og, go to war with the Jewish people, and we end up conquering their cities. But it wasn't intentionally, it wasn't originally supposed to be part of the land of Israel. So that's what we call Aver HaYarden. And it seems like there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to bring the Bikurim and to recite the Mikra Bikurim on these fruits of the Transjordan. Now, interestingly, the Rambam, and what his source is not readily apparent, thinks that the Chachamim only really mean this on the Derabbanan level, that there's a rabbinic obligation, but there's no Torah-level obligation, because, again, the Pasuk is very clear, that God, you gave us this land. This is our land of inheritance, and maybe we can't really say that about the Aver HaYarden. So be that as it may, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili was against the whole idea altogether. So Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says, no way, that's not considered Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. The only thing which is considered Zavas Chalav Udvash is west of the River Jordan. East of the River Jordan, nobody ever described that as Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. And if you'll say, well, who cares, right? It's still populated by Jewish people, right? The Torah says that Zavas Chalav Udvash, flowing with milk and honey, as it were, is actually one of the requirements of Bikurim. Because again, the Pasuk says, Vayotzini Hashem Mitzrayim, Biyad Chazakav Yisrael Netziyah V'morah Gadol V'ososim V'movsim V'yavinu Malkom Hazeh Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. So again, it has to fit that criterion. So again, the view of the Chachamim is that there's an obligation. The Rambam has a Chiddush in saying it's only rabbinic in nature. It's not a Torah-level obligation. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says there's no obligation altogether. But again, the normative view is that of the Chachamim, that there should be an obligation, whether you understand it like the Rambam or like the other Rishonim. So I saw a really fascinating nuance, and with this we'll conclude, in the commentary of the Rash Mishans, one of the great expositors of the Mishnayos of Zeraim. So the Rash Mishan says, well, wait a minute. Not all of the Transjordan is created equal. Because you can say about the land that Reuven ended up inhabiting and God ended up inhabiting from moving from south to north, yeah, God delivered that victory. But what was the problem? That the land of Og was so vast that they didn't want it to be unpopulated. So we're going to read later in Sefer Bamidbar, what did Moshe do? Moshe sent Menashe, certain families from the tribe of Menashe, to go and sort of conquer and clear out that area and to stay there. So he says, well, even if you'll agree with the Chachamim that the land of Reuven and the land of God, that was a divinely ordained victory. This is land about which you could say, V'ata hinei yeveti reshit pri adama asher natata li Hashem, God gave this to me. Could you really say that about the land of Menashe? Clearly, that was different. That was a sign much later, because there was this vast empty space and Moshe wanted them to be able to settle it. It seems like it was a very different kind of an endeavor. And there's all kinds of theories as to why Moshe chose Menashe of all the tribes. But he was of the view, so the Rashmi Shantz ends up, based on the Yerushalmi, suggesting that maybe we'll treat different parts of the Transjordan differently. The southern half of the Transjordan will say, okay, so there's a mitzvah to bring the Bikurim and to recite the Mikra Bikurim, whether you think it's Deoraisa or Derabanan. The Rambam will tell you it's Derabanan. Everybody else, I think, will tell you that it's Deoraisa. But be that as it may, that would not apply to the northern half of the Transjordan, because that was taken based on human initiative. That was not considered part of the divine gift, and therefore it's outside of the category of Hinehe Besias Rishis Pri Adama Asher Nasata Li Hashem, the land which God has given. That was more human initiative, which would be a fascinating point if indeed the Rashmi Shantz were correct about splitting between the Transjordan.